This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
WNYC Studios is supported by W.W. Norton & Company, publishers of Poetry Unbound by Padre Gotuma, a poetry anthology that offers immersive reflections, keen insights, and personal anecdotes on 50 powerful poems. Focusing on poets mainly writing today, Poetry Unbound engages with a diverse array of voices that includes Ada Limon, Ilya Kaminsky, Margaret Atwood, Ocean Vuong, Layli Long Soldier, and Reginald Dwayne Betts. Poetry Unbound is now in paperback.
Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
We are standing in my home kitchen on a hot summer day, looking at my cookbook bookshelf along one wall of my kitchen.
Helen Rosner is a food correspondent for The New Yorker, and if you ask what she's reading lately, she's liable to pull out one of her cookbooks.
I mean, I think a lot of people talk about reading cookbooks in bed, and that's not quite what I do. I like to just sort of sit down on a couch and read with them. Just looking at my bookshelf right now, the Momofuku cookbook, which is just one of my all-time favorites, is so easy to sit down and read. I think that reading cookbooks for escapism is fundamental to their appeal. And the escapism can be geographic, you know, reading a book like Thai Street Food over there on that shelf is beautiful. I mean, it's tourism without leaving your sofa. But it can also be chronological tourism, temporal tourism, you know, reading these older books or reading books that are chronicles of past places. So today we're going to make a recipe from one of my favorite cookbooks of all time. It's called Living and Eating, and it's by the famous British minimalist architect John Pawson, writing with Annie Bell, who's a British food writer. And the thing that's wonderful about this is, so John Pawson, as an architect, is famous for, he does like Calvin Klein stores, you know, he's an ultra minimalist. And the book opens and closes with these extended chapters that are beautifully bossy. You know, he talks about how a kitchen should be designed. His section about dishwashers, I mean, listen to this. Is there anything to be said for washing dishes by hand? There may be some individuals who find washing up therapeutic, but probably only on occasional basis. The main requisites are that the machine should function quietly and offer environmentally friendly washing features, including modest water usage. What cookbook has that? What cookbook has instructions on how to buy the right dishwasher? And the answer is a cookbook that's been written by an architect who thinks about the kitchen as a holistic machine. So we're gonna make one of the desserts, and it's actually, so we're gonna make strawberry fool, like idiot. Fool is one of my favorite desserts to make, and especially in the summer. At its core, it's something creamy, whether it's a custard or whipped cream, swirled together with fresh fruit or fruit compote. But the version that Pawson and Bell have in this book is a uniform Pepto-Bismol pink strawberry fool where it's all been blended together. And they also set it with gelatin, which is in some fool recipes, but I've never actually made a gelatin-based fool. So in so many ways, this is a brand new fool for me, but I guess it makes sense for a minimalist like John Pawson to want something that is uniform in texture and uniform in color. So let's try it. So the first thing the recipe says that we need to do is steep the cream with lemon and vanilla. So according to the recipe, we are gonna let this simmer until it's reduced by a third. Yum. Okay. So now we really should just wait a little bit, but we can do the fruit. I love cookbooks that have voice, right? Where you can tell that someone who wrote the recipes or compiled them isn't just trying to be some anonymous authority figure, but is really speaking from a place of who they are. You know, finding writerly voice can be hard regardless of what you're writing. And I think it's especially hard when you're writing recipes because there's such a technical aspect to it. You know, you can't editorialize too much in the ingredients or the instructions because you need the dish to turn out. But the art of writing a cookbook that has personality is really just, it's the most magical thing.
Oh my God.
It's boiling over. Okay, so I'm gonna set it off the heat. So I've sliced the tops off of all of our strawberries and thrown them in my blender. And then we're taking that lemon that we zested and we're juicing it in there. Time to blend. So let's add our gelatin to our cream. And now we'll dump in the berry mixture. And we have a bowl full of this beautiful Pepto-Bismol pink strawberry and cream concoction. Okay, now we're gonna put this in the fridge for a little while for the gelatin to set, and we'll check on it soon.
The New Yorker's Helen Rosner. We'll check back in with her after that strawberry fool has had time to set.
Okay, we put our strawberry fool in the fridge and let's see how it's doing. Okay, so we have a wobbly bowl of strawberry fool. It's not super firm, it doesn't feel like jello. You're not gonna be able to, you know, cut it into cubes. But the idea is that it should roughly hold its form if you're scooping it out. So this is normally where I would glop a huge amount of whipped cream on the top because I feel like you can never have too much whipped cream, but they want us to use white chocolate, so white chocolate we will use. You can grate chocolate on a microplane or even just a box grater, and it kind of makes a beautiful snow that's kind of like a Parmesan cheese visual. It's so ugly. I mean, it's beautiful. It's beautiful in that kind of silly homemade way, which is the perfect way for things to be beautiful. I mean, this literally looks like a picture from one of those horrible mid-century cookbooks. It was all sort of shot in lurid Kodachrome. And there's something very lurid about this, you know, this vivid pink and the dark red and the fluffy white. I mean, look at that. Oh my God, it's so good. I'm gonna eat all of this. You know, taste is such a powerful bookmark for our sensory memories. You know, you take a bite of something and like Proust's Madeleine, you're transported into the past. And, you know, we could make strawberry fool any time of year. But if you only make it in the summer, then it becomes a dish that reminds you of summer forever. Oh, I love this. I just spilled on myself. It's that good. My shirt wanted some too.
The New Yorker's Helen Rosner, in her kitchen with a fool. You can find all of Helen's writing, including a recipe for a savory tomato pound cake, at newyorker.com. That's another recipe I can't imagine any time but in the summer.
Support for today's show comes from Deloitte. What does the future look like? By melding business acumen and innovative technology, Deloitte can help you build the future only you can imagine. They can help engineer solutions for your business reality today and your vision for tomorrow to get you to a world where you don't just dream it, you build it. See how you can engineer advantage with Deloitte at deloitte.com/us/engineeringadvantage.